محمد عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. وفي آية أخرى: إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة. وفي آية أخرى: ففروا إلى الله. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدنيا سجن المؤمن وجنة الكافر، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our nourisher, our creator, our sustainer. And may the choices of salawat and barakat and rahmat be upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad kullama dhakarahu al-dhakirun, wa salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad kullama ghafala an dhikri ghafilun. From amongst the many great qualities and sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you look into the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the 99 beautiful, great names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one great quality, one great sifat and name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Khaliq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. Allah is the creator of every single thing that we see, the things we cannot see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the sky, the sun, the stars, the moon. Allah created the mountains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the trees. Allah created every single thing. Every single thing is the makhluk of Allah. And we also are the makhluk and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the created entities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not created us, we would have not been in existence. So it is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. That is why we are in existence. So you find that when it comes to the creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created many different things. Allah created the stars, the sun, the moon, animals, jinnat. But why did Allah create us? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create us human beings? Insan, why have we been created? What was the purpose of our creation? What was the objective of our creation? So you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, Allah mentions, مَا خَلَقَتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Allah did not create anything in vain. There was a certain purpose why Allah had created us. There is a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us just for merely eat, sleep, earn a living, and to enjoy yourself. But no, our creation was for something much greater than that. Our creation was more nobler than that. And Allah answers it in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That Allah created us human beings to worship Him, to recognize Him, to make His ibadat. And to worship Allah means to recite the Quran, the tilawat of the Quran, to perform salah, to discharge our zakah, and to do any qurbat, any action that will draw us nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the purpose of our creation. And as they say in Arabic, لنخرج العباد من عبادة العباد إلى عبادة رب العباد. To take us out of the worship and the slavery of insan and the makhluk and the creation, and to bring us back to the slavery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was our purpose of creation. Our creation was for something much greater than this dunya, much greater than the enjoyments and the zenith and the beauty of this world. It was to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the purpose of our creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the second page of the 27th para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an ayat, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. That run back, turn back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have forgotten Allah, then run back and go, return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Abdullah Tastari rahmatullah alayhi, he explains, a very great wali of his time, he explains under the verse of this ayat, فَفِرُّوا فِرْ يَعْنِي فِرُّوا أَمَّا سِوَ اللَّهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, that turn away from all those things that are distract and run back and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What he means is, make your object of your living in this world, make the object of your creation in this world Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make your object Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make, turn your nazar, turn your gaze, turn your heart, turn your qalb towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is your purpose and that is your object of coming in this world. So you find that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, then you find that sometimes mankind, he forgets the purpose of his creation. So you find that when it comes to man forgetting the purpose of his creation, then you find many a times, man involves himself in many different things, or what we say, play of this world, and the creation of sin. Find when it comes to some people, they have made their object in this world, their body. And what they have done in this world, they have made everything about this, about their living in this world, about their body. And how is this? They say that, you know, they have to be beautiful, and they have to be, you know, attractive. So you find Hakim Akhtasab rahmatullahi alayh, he mentions in a very beautiful poem, kisi khaki par mat khak apni zindagani ko de jawani dekar fida usko jisne jawani ko. He says in this very, very beautiful poem, he says, your life and your zindagi in this world, it is just sand. You are created from sand, and whatever you see around you, it is sand. And then he says that don't waste your time upon sand. Don't delve and don't waste away and while away your time in this dunya upon sand and upon this temporary world that we are living in. He says rather give your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make your focus in this world. Make your object in this world. And turn your nazar towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that this whole world, they are hankering, they are sacrificing their whole life in this world. But they are sacrificing it over this worldly life, this temporary worldly life. And he says that everything that they are hankering and they are dying for and people are sacrificing their life for, they are sacrificing their life for, and the reality is that everything is sand. He says some people in this world, they make the object of their life their body. And you find that a person's body is sand, and a person is created from sand. So sand plus sand equals sand. And then it's explained that you find some people the whole entire night and day, they hope to be attractive towards people. A person, he will shave off his beard. And whilst doing this, he will gain the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, they will look in the mirror 5 to 10 times a day. Just to see how they are looking. And you know, they have to be tip-top. You know, as they say, there's a saying, tip-top like a robot. So a person has to be perfect. Nothing, there mustn't be any. And if there's one pimple or one zitter on his face, then you know, margaya, this person is finished. So you find that this. So Hakim Akhtasab rahmatullah alayhi, he says some people in this world, they have made their body their main object and figure and concern in this world. Some people, they will take 100 selfies a day, and you know they'll post it on Facebook, Instagram. And then he says some people, they will change the creation of Allah. They will resort to plastic surgery and all these funny methods. He says all these things are sand. A person's creation is sand. And a person is, he's concerned about his body. And his body is sand. So you find sand plus sand equals sand. He says that this is the reality of this worldly life. That sometimes a person is worried about looks. But a person should realize that looks fade. Looks fade. A person's looks doesn't last for the rest of his life. He says, how foolish is this person? How foolish is this person? This person, he worried. His whole concern was his body. How he must look, his physique, his body and, his muscles. He says that as soon as this person passes away, when he enters into the qabr, the first thing the qabr will announce to him is, Ana baytul wahda, Ana baytul dud, that, insan, you have spent your whole life upon your looks and your body and your physique, but now you enter into this qabr. I am the house of loneliness. I am the house of dud. And what is that? That is, I am the house of ants and insects and worms, and these worms will eat away at your body. You spent your whole life upon this body, but when you entered into the qabr, those same worms and ants will eat away at your body. So this is the reality of this worldly life. You spent your life upon the zenith and the attractiveness of the dunya, just for you to be eaten away by those very ants and those insects. Then he says that there is a second category of people, and they are those people who their whole entire concern in this world, their entire worry and concern and fikr in this world is to gain a house. And they work towards buying a house and building a house. So you find that if you look at a house is made of what? A house is made of sand. So you find this man, insan, he's made of sand. But his whole entire fikr and concern in this world and object of this world is to build a house. So sand plus sand equals sand. So you find he wasted away his whole entire life just to gain sand. So you find that some people, when it comes to building a house, sometimes alhamdulillah, to build a house is important. But you find some people, they have made the whole entire object of this entire zindagi, dunyawi zindagi, and their life in this world just to gain a house. They will resort to taking a loan, a haram loan. A haram loan which wages war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes a person, he will take a bond. Sometimes a person, he will take, he will resort to haram methods. For example, he will steal. Or he will do haram business transactions. Sometimes a person, he will pay haram interest, upon the borrowed money. Just to build a house. One person, 20 years ago, he took a bond to build a house. Wallahi lazim, this person today, 2017, this person is still paying for his bond. This person is still paying for his house. So you find people will adopt haram methods to gain this dunya, and to gain this worldly life, and to gain a house. But you find the reality is, this house is sand, mankind is created from sand. So sand plus sand equals sand. So you find a person, he will spend his whole day with the architect, with the builder, with the electrician, and with the plumber. And you find sometimes a person, he will have a house as a showpiece kitchen. And then you find some people, just on renovations, they will spend millions upon millions just to gain this worldly life. Some people, one Muslim person the other day, he bought a TV. May Allah protect us. This person, he bought a TV. The TV, I don't know, some funny TV. It's called some curved TV or something. He spent approximately 70,000 rand upon a TV. 70,000 rand upon a haram thing. So you find that this person, as we say, that sand, this building of a house, it is sand. This house is sand, and mankind is sand. And he wiles away his time upon sand. So if I imagine this person, the ulama explain that the reality of this sand, and this building of houses, is that a person, he will build this house, but if something happens to this house, aliyazu billah, and how his heart breaks. You find in reality, the ulama explained that the likeness of this house is similar to a small child. He goes to the seaside and then he builds a sand castle just for that sand castle to be washed away by the waves. Says in a similar manner, this whole world, what we are seeing, it is just zina. It is just the beauty of this world. But it's not something that will last. When a person enters into the qabr, when a person leaves this world, and when his eyes closes and he enters into that qabr, wallahi lazim, that house of the qabr, that is the house a person will be forever and ever, until qiyamah. Then the ulama explained, this house is such a house, it doesn't have no doors. In this worldly life, he had the best of doors, and the best of windows. It is such a house, this qabr is such a house, it has no windows. And this house, imagine a person in this worldly life, he had the best security system. But in this qabr, in this qabristan, there is not even one alarm system, not even one burglar guard, there is nothing. And then you find that a person, he spent upon this, this house, esmeg and grandukh and KitchenAid. But in this qabr, what is with him? What is with him? With him is just few calicos and few pieces of cloth. That is the reality of this worldly life. So, a person, he spent his whole life upon building a house. But just for him to enter into the qabr, and that is sand. So sand plus sand equals sand. And mankind is made from sand. The next category is that person who has made his whole entire worldly life, his object of his entire worldly life, clothing. And you find some people, you know, they have to look tip-top. They have to be, you know, smart. They mustn't be not even one crease upon that kurta. And then there mustn't be any spot or any mark upon that clothes. And the clothes, it can't be any Fong Kong, as we say. Or it can't be anything from Peps or Ackermans. It has to be, some branded name. And sometimes a person, he will adopt haram methods. For example, a person, he will wear, for example, those clothes which displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, a man, he is wearing red and pink and yellow. And he will wear clothes that resemble female clothes. Sometimes the clothes will be below a person's ankle. So you find these are all haram. These are all things which bring about the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other day I read an article of a certain company in South Africa. They are advertising for exquisite and exclusive shoes. They will make it for you. That one pair of shoe. Those two shoes, or what we say, those one pair of shoes, it takes them approximately few months to make. And it costs 100,000 rand. So you find people are adopting these methods just upon what? Clothing. And you find clothing, the reality of clothing is that this clothing, one day it will tear. It will give up. And the reality of it is, it will end up upon the garbage dump. And it will end up being thrown away in the trash bin. So you find this is the reality, that we are created from sand, and this clothing, it is also sand. So sand plus sand equals sand. So you find that sometimes, may Allah protect us. Sometimes you find that a man, he will adopt those methods and those means which will resemble women. And on the contrary, as we say, vice versa, a woman, she will adopt those means. She will wear those clothes which resemble males. For example, she will cut her hair, or she won't wear any parda, etc., or scarf, etc. Or she will wear tights and jeans. You find these are all haram. So you find, on a lighter note, there was one old auntie, and we all know, wallahi lazim, the old people, they had haya. They had sharam, and they had shame, and they had total modesty in their life. So you find that this one old lady, she goes to a party. And while she's at the party, she made a comment, and she says that, you know, look at these small girls of today. They are, you know, look what they are doing. They are wearing clothes, and you can't even make out whether they are girl or boy. And then she says that, look at this one girl over here. She looks like a boy. So you find that the one person who was sitting next door, she says that, you know, I would know better because that is my daughter. You are talking about my daughter. That is my daughter. So then, you know, she says that, the old lady, she apologizes and she says, you know, sorry, you know, I didn't know that, sorry, make me maaf. The lady says that, no, I'm not the mother, I'm the father. So you find this is the reality, that now people are adopting haram methods and they are doing haram things. And you find at the same time they are bringing about the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the reality of these clothes is one day you will leave this world, you will enter the qabr. And in the qabr, you won't have any clothes on. You won't even have the ability to wear a kurta or pants. But rather you will leave this world with a kafan. So you find that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Lu'ina Abdul Khamisa. That accursed is that person who is a slave of clothing. So you find a person's worldly life in this world is not just his object in this world. It's not just few mere, wearing the best of style and trends and fashion. But rather, it is to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next object a person, he will make in this world, he'll make his objective in this world, is woman and lust and desire. And he will whole, the whole life will go away. And his whole object, he will chase women and lust and desire. And you find that women, they are created from sand. And mankind is sand. Sand plus sand equals sand. So you find a man, he will try his best to get the most amount of lazat and enjoyment. He will stare and he will ogle and he will chase away. He will chase after women. He says, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that one, it will start off with that one haram glance. An-nazru sahmun masmumum min siham iblis. That one glance, it is the haram, it is the poisonous arrow of shaitan. So you find it will start off with this one glance, then it will be girlfriends, then it will be mistresses, then it will be secret nikahs, you know, in the quiet. Then sometimes a person, he will resort to getting trophy wives. His wife will be his trophy. The one uncle in a certain town, I won't tell you all which town, this uncle has a wife and he has grandchildren. So now he got a new wife. The new wife is younger than his grandchild. So you find this is the reality that mankind will chase after women. So we find Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that an-nazru sahmum masmumum min siham iblis. It starts off with this one haram glance. Then you find that a person, he will resort to haram things. For example, porn, etc. You find there was a study done in Vancouver by scientists. They done a study, the 10 most top countries which involve themselves in porn, for example, looking at haram, looking at this filth and dirt. So they found that from amongst the top five countries are Muslim countries. Five countries are Muslim countries. And aliyazu billah, what has this ummah come to? The reality of this world is, they say that from amongst those five Muslim countries, one country, majority of them were looking at gay. Or these haram gays and lesbians, etc. So you find this is the reality. That man, he won't know when to stop. And he will carry on and waste away his life upon this sand. So you find, tori der ki lazzat, hameshki ki zillat. A person, he will spend his life and this for this temporary enjoyment, he will gain eternal disgrace. The next category is those people, inshallah, I'll try to finish off quickly, is those people who make the object in this world food. And as they say, some people, they say that, no, I don't eat to live. But I rather love to eat. And some people, they say on a lighter note, they say, I'm following a seafood diet. Whatever I see, I must eat. So you find this is the reality. Some people, they will spend their whole entire life upon this. But the reality is that this worldly life, it will end. Everything will come to an end. But what will last? What will last? What will be with you forever and ever? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was revealed to him. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ عَمَلًا. The thing that will last with you, the thing that will remain with you forever and ever, are those remaining good actions and good deeds. That tilawat of that Quran, that child which was the investment of deen, that will remain with you. And what will last, those isal al-siwab, that sadaqah, jariyah, those things which you donated and those things after you passed away, after you leave this world and your eyes close, those things will last with you. And those good actions and good deeds, that will last with you forever and ever. That will help you in your qabr. That will help you in your akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to practice. Ameen. Subhanallah.